This morning, we're going to put Matthew on the shelf for the holiday season. This morning I've got a special kind of standalone sermon. The next Sunday, we have Pastor Bill Acton with us. The following Sunday, we'll have Thanksgiving. The Sunday after that, we're into Advent and Christmas celebration. So this morning, I want us to look at a special resource. I know around the holiday times, at least for me, I always have a desire to share my faith. But often it's tough to do. Sharing your faith and sharing who Christ is isn't necessarily a very easy thing. A lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about what Christianity is. Some people think they're Christian because they were born in a quote-unquote Christian nation. There's no real Christian nation. Okay, to be a Christian means you have faith in Jesus Christ, and nobody gets faith in Jesus Christ by being born in a physical location. Okay, now granted, we live in a nation that was founded on many good and great Christian principles, and its laws and founding documents were shaped about that. But the idea of a Christian nation has somehow evolved to some idea that, well, everybody who lives in America is Christians, which is just nonsense and dangerous nonsense at that. So Christianity isn't about being born in America. Christianity means a Christian, by definition, is a follower of Christ. And so a Christian is somebody who follows after Jesus, who's placed their faith in Jesus. Not simply their faith in God, because every religion places their faith in a God or gods. Christians place their faith in the God of the Bible. But how do they get faith? How does faith come? Do you walk into church and buy it? No. You can't get it in a store. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know the Bible is the Word of God, so in order to have true faith, in order to be a real Christian, does that mean you have to read the whole Bible? No, I don't think so. In fact, I think there are many of you here in this room who are Christians who haven't yet read the Bible, the entire Bible. Now, I'd encourage you to read the whole Bible, but there are certain kind of core themes. There's a big story over the Bible that you have to understand to really understand who God is and what He's done. So today we're going to do something different, and before I pass out what I think is just this tremendous resource to you, I want to give you there's four quick points I want to share with you as a preface to this. I know for some of you, sharing your faith is scary. It takes courage. But you can take courage because God is with you. Some of you might say, but Pastor Robert, I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm afraid I'm not going to represent Christ well. Friends, remember the promise Jesus gave his disciples in Matthew's gospel as he was sending the disciples out, that God's Spirit would be with them to give them the words that they needed to say. So the first thing I want to encourage you with is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't be a chicken. Okay, second thing, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Can I share some good news with you? How many of you got the paper on Friday? The little insert? Do you see this little article right here? Canyon pastor wins chili cook-off. And there's that picture. That's good news. I am the chili king for a year. Yeah! Let's see who can take me down next year, right? That's good news, and it's good news that I'm ready to share with anybody. Friends, how much more should we look for opportunities to share the fact that Christ has come and rescued us and delivered us from our sin and reconciled us to God, not because of anything we've done, but because of what He has done. We've been recipients of His mercy and grace. We're called sons and daughters of the Most High God. How much better news is that than some stupid chili cook-off? Sorry, but it is. The chili's come and gone. My sonship in the family of God is for eternity. That is great news. And how much more should we be looking for opportunities and praying for opportunities to share that truth, the truth of what God has done for us and in us. Now, when I say watch and pray, that doesn't mean you wake up in the morning and pull out your 12-gauge gospel shotgun and say, okay, who am I going to get today? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is as you talk to people, as you share your life with people, as you engage people and topics of, I can't do that Sunday, I'm going to church. Oh, you go to church? Yeah, I go to this great little church up in Tribuco Canyon that nobody can find, but I can show you where it is. And you can share with them that you go to church and you can share with them the reason why you go to church. To be with God's people and to study God's word because of what Christ has done for you and how that sustains you and upholds you. And they might say something like, well, you know, I'm glad that's working for you. I went to church and I never really understood it. And then you say, well, you know what? Let's take like 15 minutes and sit down. Let's take 20 minutes, have lunch, and let me make sure you understood everything about it. And it gives you an opportunity to just kind of start sharing the gospel. So first, don't be afraid. Don't be a chicken. Second, watch and pray. Look for opportunities by which you can share your faith. Third, remember, God gives faith. You tell the story. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God gives faith, you tell the story. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I think it's 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that any man can boast. We're saved not by anything somebody else did for us or to us. I grew up in a denomination, and if I sat them down and talked to them about this, I'm sure they'd say, well, what was wrong with you? That's not what we think. But in the denomination I grew up in, I grew up somehow thinking that when I sat down and I shared my faith with somebody, if after I shared my faith and what God had done for them, if at that moment the heavens didn't part, they fall down on their knees and ask for me to pray with them and to be baptized, I was kind of a failure if that didn't happen. Guess what? Never in my life have I had the heavens open after sharing my faith with somebody or them fall down on their knees and ask to be baptized. It's just never happened. But I always felt like when I was sharing my faith, the faith, I felt that I was the one who had to close the deal. I felt kind of like a used car salesman. Okay? Does that make sense? Has anybody ever had to buy a used car from a used car sales? Okay. Not sorry if any of you, I'm not going to go down there. Anyway, I know some good used car salesmen who are men of God, but I digress. But when you're sharing your faith, you shouldn't feel like a used car salesman. You should feel like a herald. Somebody who shares the news. The news has been given to you to share. What people then do with that news is up to God. God is the one who is at work in their hearts and minds. It was Jesus. It was God who had to make my heart of stone a heart of flesh. Same for you. Somebody shared the good news with you. Faith came by hearing and hearing from the word of God. But the transformation that took place in your heart was the work of a supernatural God. So remember, God gives faith, you tell the story. And then one other thing. When you're sharing your faith, don't make it all about them. Okay? It's not about you, it's not about them, it's about God. Let me explain. We live in a narcissistic age where everything is about us. We think we're the center of the universe. In fact, the consumeristic age in which we live, those who market electronic devices, they even name them for us. iPad, iPod, iWeb, iMac. I. It's all, and again, I use iPads, so I don't have anything against Apple per se. But the consumeristic marketing age in which we live tell us you need these things in order to give you fulfillment and make you complete and make you whole. And we walk through life navel-gazing, trying to figure out all the things we need, all the degrees we need, all the people we need to be in contact with to make us complete. We need kind of a Copernican revolution where we stop being the sun in the universe and make God the sun in the universe, and then kind of the orbit of our planet, the orbit of our planets of labor and leisure and all the other things kind of get their gravity and weight from that and kind of rotate around that. So when you're sharing your faith, remember that it's not about you, it's not just about them, it's about God and what He has done. He's the main actor in the story. We are at best co-stars. Most of us are really extras, okay? But that's okay, because the big story is about Him and what He has done. So, with that in mind, I want to share with you. Richard, will you help me? Will you help me pass some of these out? Yes. Here, just make sure everybody gets one. Here. There's three there. What I love about this resource is, you know, oftentimes you'll talk to people about Christianity. And as a pastor, one of the things I love to do is give people books. But guess what I've discovered in our electronic age? People only have the attention span to read an online article. Okay? Google's made us stupid. I'm sorry. But does this ever happen to you? You go online and you start reading an article and you see the article's linked to something else. And then you link to that other article. And, you know, 20 minutes have gone by and you've read four different little articles and you can't remember where you started or why you started there. Okay, so, you know, if someone wants to read a book about the Christian faith, great book, Reason for God by Timothy Keller. But you give somebody a book like this and they go, it's 240 pages. I haven't read anything that long since I was in college, okay? So this is actually a resource that I'm going to go through with you right now, and we can go through the whole resource in about 10 minutes, okay? It doesn't, and that's with me reading out loud. If somebody were to actually just hunker down and read it for themselves, they'd be able to go through it even faster. But what I like about what's been done here is the Bible. They've divided the Bible into four sections, okay? Creation, chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, all right? God creates the world. Fall, chapter 3 of Genesis, the first part of chapter 3 of Genesis. And then everything from the second part of chapter 3 of Genesis all the way to Revelation chapter 20 is part 3 they call the rescue. And then the restoration is Revelations chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible. So, They kind of break down the whole Bible into four really big sections. Actually, the third section is huge. The other few sections are a couple chapters here, then half a chapter, a couple chapters in the end, everything else in the middle. So let's go through this just real briefly. And I want to encourage you you're going to take this with you. Put it in your glove box. Put it in your purse. Especially some of you women, you have more than enough room for a couple of them in your purse. Put it in your organizer. Put it in that little center console in your car somewhere. But it's a great primer for those of you who are already Christians. It's a primer where if you're talking with somebody about the faith and you want to have something that you can both kind of hone on into and read together to take and use. So let's start. The following pages are a summary of a true story. It's like many good stories you've heard or read, but the more you read, the more you realize this is not just another story. It is the story. It defines us all. It makes us think about who we are and who we can become. And so, how did it all begin? Creation. And there are verses here on the side that go vertically along the page. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So it starts off with God, who's always been. He's always existed, and He's always existed exactly as He is now. If this seems confusing, it's because He's beyond what anyone can fully comprehend. Now, There's some people who, when you read that, are going to object. Well, I think I should at least be able to understand God. To them, I would reply, look, dude, you can't even understand your wife. How in the world do you think you can understand God? I mean, we have enough difficulty understanding our spouses or our kids. So the idea that we should just somehow immediately be able to understand and comprehend all who God is and all that he has done, that's just arrogant. Okay. Although I probably wouldn't use those words when I'm sharing my faith with somebody. Creation. In the beginning, God spoke and everything came into existence. By his command, the entire universe was created and filled with a dramatic display of galaxies and stars and planets, including Earth, on which was a perfect garden of paradise called Eden. Of all the beauty he created, the masterpiece was a man and a woman. God made Adam and Eve in his image to reflect him. They were created with the grand purpose of worshiping him, by loving him, serving him, and enjoying relationship with him. Harmony. By God's design, all of creation was in harmony and was exactly the way it was supposed to be. During this time, there was no pain, suffering, sickness, or death. Dennis, can you imagine how awesome the farmers' markets would have been back then? Yeah. There was complete love, acceptance, and intimacy between God and man, between Adam and Eve, and throughout creation. But something tragic happened. What went wrong? The fall. Adam and Eve were far from being equal to God, yet he lovingly placed them in charge of all he had created in Eden. He gave them the freedom to make decisions, to govern the earth with one rule, not to eat fruit from a specific tree. And one day, God's enemy, a fallen angel named Satan, wanted to overthrow God, so he took the form of a serpent and lied to Adam and Eve. He deceived them into thinking God was not good and did not have their best interest in mind. Friends, is that not true? Is that not the same lie that he continues to perpetuate over and over again? God is not good and doesn't have your best interest in mind. God doesn't really want you to enjoy life. He's a killjoy. He wants to restrict you. He doesn't want you to have any fun. You know better than God. And we still buy it, don't we? As a result, they knowingly disobeyed God, and in rebellion, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, deciding that they, not God, would determine what was right and wrong. And over again, people put God on the witness stand and to tell him that he is wrong and how he has misbehaved. We've set ourselves up as the judge of the universe and put him on trial. Consequence. The consequences of their actions were devastating. Like a virus, sin entered into all creation and into the hearts of Adam and Eve. Sin, suffering, and pain were passed down from generation to generation. All of creation was distorted from its original design. We've read or heard stories of war, poverty, disease, greed, and the scandals that plague our world today. These are all a result of sin. We think about the perfection and love that existed at the beginning of creation. We realize we are far more flawed and far more sinful than we ever dared imagine. Just think of the grudges we've held, the lies we've told, the thoughts we've never dared say out loud. An honest glance into our own hearts reveals the truth. We are all guilty. Everyone has sinned. And the ultimate consequence, even worse than physical death, is eternal separation from a loving God in terrible misery and unhappiness. Because of all this, we need to consider the questions. Can anything be done? Is there any hope? The rescue. Promise made. God removed Adam and Eve from Eden as a result of their sin, but left them with a promise of rescue and hope. He promised them that one day their descendants would someday rescue mankind from sin. And over the next centuries, God prepared a way for this person who would become the Savior of the world. Exact details of his birth, life, and death are all recorded in the Bible, and many centuries before his coming. In fact, the whole Bible ultimately focuses on this one person as the focal point of all human history. His purpose in coming was to seek and save that which was lost. Who was he? Well, the promised Savior, simply, was God. God became human in the person of Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. fulfilling all the predictions of the Old Testament. Jesus' birth was miraculous since his mother was a virgin. His life was unique. He'd never sinned. His death was a sacrifice that rescued us all from sin and Satan. He willingly, obediently, and sufficiently died an agonizing death on the cross for the sins of all mankind in the greatest display of mercy and grace the world has ever known. The perfectly innocent died to rescue the hopelessly guilty. Oh, I love that line. The perfectly innocent died to rescue the hopelessly guilty. He took the place on a cross rightfully meant for us to pay for sins we've committed and will commit against God. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, Jesus emerged from his tomb, fulfilling his earthly mission to defeat sin by dying on the cross and to defeat death by rising from the dead, just as God promised. 40 days later, he returned to heaven where he reigns as the rightful king. But the story doesn't end there. What will the future hold? The restoration, all things new. For all those who trust in Jesus alone, God has also promised that he will make all things new. The new heaven and a new earth will be completely free of sin and selfishness. A place of perfect friendship with God, others, and all creation. No more shattering earthquakes, devastating tsunamis, or violent storms will plague the earth. No more pain, broken hearts, sickness, or death will trouble us. Everything will be restored to the way it was meant to be. The new earth will once again be the perfect home God intended for his creation. God's original purpose will flourish as those who trust in his rescue will enter into the grand purpose of worshiping him by loving him, serving him, and enjoying relationship with him forever. Forever with God. The most wonderful part of this new world is that we will be with God forever. Experiencing complete joy. Friends, one of the things I like to say is, heaven won't be heaven if Jesus isn't there. You know, people ask me what heaven's like, and are there really streets of gold? And, you know, is it really the dimensions of, you know, et cetera, et cetera? And part of me wants to just say, why are you worried about that? Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Okay, I digress. We'll be restored to a perfect relationship with the one who created, loved, and died for us. C.S. Lewis, scholar and children's author, compared this first step into the new world, this chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever and ever, which every chapter is better than the one before. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." So what's your part in the story? God's writing an amazing story from creation to restoration. He created you to be part of that story, to worship him, serve, and enjoy relationship with him. By joining God in his story, you will find forgiveness, purpose, and satisfaction as you come to know the author of life. Rescue by faith alone. Faith is simple trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. It means instead of believing you can rescue yourself from the consequences of your sin, you transfer your trust to the rescue he purchased for you by his death. Your allegiance is now to Jesus, the King. Those who place their trust in anything other than Jesus will find themselves forever separated from the loving God who gave his one and only Son to set us free from the bondage of sin. This painful separation is called hell. Recap. The creation. In the beginning, God created everything to be perfect. The fall. Man rebelled against the loving God and believed Satan's lie. Sin entered into the world and into every human heart. Everything is now distorted and broken. Everyone is guilty before God. The rescue. Jesus, who is God, came to rescue people by his death and resurrection. By faith alone in him, all who are separated from God can have their sins forgiven and enjoy eternal life with him. The restoration. God will restore everything to the way that it was supposed to be. And those who trust in Jesus will get to enjoy eternity with God in the new heaven and new earth. Response. God is inviting you to be part of the story he's writing throughout the ages to come. He's offering salvation to you today, which is your invitation to the rescue God offers. You can embrace the rescue of God by simply admitting your need to God, asking Him to forgive you and help you turn from sin, trusting in Jesus alone to rescue you, following Jesus Christ, the King of your life, in faith from this day forward. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, and His Spirit begins to live inside you. You've become part of His story. The more you grow in your relationship with Him, the more of His story you'll begin to see and understand in your life. All of your sin, past and future, is forgiven, and you now find total acceptance before Him. When you begin this relationship, Jesus promises to be with you through all the ups and downs and in the joys and difficulties of this life. He loves you with an everlasting, unchanging love. And not only has He promised eternal life, but He came so that you could experience purpose, fulfillment, and freedom in this life as well. Where do I go from here? Well, read the Bible. The Bible is the story of God's people and God's love and His faithfulness to His people. It provides encouragement, instruction, warning, and correction that will help you make sense of your life. And as you read it, ask God to show you something that can apply to your life. If you're not sure where to begin, start with the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. Find community. Getting connected with others who've trusted in the rescue of God is essential. The church is the community of Christians gathered regularly to worship God as His family. Each member of the family plays a vital role. Similar to the human body, each part helps the whole body function properly. The church is the body of Christ. Talk with God. Talking with God is another way you'll get to know Him. He's always ready to listen and spend time with you. You can always speak to Him. He invites you to share all your burdens and joys with Him. This is prayer. And then tell your story. Share this news with everyone. Let them hear the amazing story of God's love and rescue and how it has changed your life. Friends, if you're here today, you fall into one or two category of people. You're either a follower of Christ who's taken that first step of faith to walk with the Lord. And if so, I pray today has been a great primer, a great resource, a great reminder by which you can reflect on the greatness of your salvation and in turn share that with others. And if you've never yet taken that first step of faith, remember, it's not coming to church that makes you a follower of Christ. It's faith. It's trusting in God. And if you've never trusted in Christ and Him alone for your salvation, maybe you've been trusting in other things. Maybe you've been trusting in your good works or your own righteousness. Or maybe you've been trusting in just death, thinking that, well, everybody kind of goes to heaven. Friend, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, we are saved by grace through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And it's a faith in the person of Jesus, the mighty Savior. Even now, God might be pulling at your heart, convicting you of your sin, beckoning you to trust Him, calling you to Himself. And if that's true of you, we're going to pray in just a minute, and I'm going to pray especially for you, that God would do in your heart what He alone can do, and that's give you faith. To follow Him, to trust Him, to be a son or daughter of the Most High God. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank You for everyone here who's already a Christian, who's already a follower of Jesus. I pray for all of us, Lord, especially as this time of celebration and reflection on Your birth and incarnation are coming rapidly approaching, Lord. I pray that You would help us be courageous in sharing our faith, that You would help us to watch and pray and look for opportunities to share. Lord, that we would be mindful that it is You who is at work, but nonetheless, we'd be faithful to declare what You have done and tell the story. Always remembering that it's about You and not so much about us. We thank You for whatever part, whatever role You have, us playing in it. And Lord, I think too of those who are here today who've never turned to You. Would You be merciful and compassionate on their souls this morning? Would you move in their hearts by faith? That they might come to know you and love you. That they might recognize the magnitude of the rescue that you performed for them. And that they might realize that it was for them. That they might follow you. Would you do that even now in their hearts, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. If this morning you felt the Lord speaking to you, asking you to be his follower, if you came in here unsure whether or not you were a follower of Jesus, you can leave this place sure that you're his child. The Bible says if we confess, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If that prayer resonated with you, and if you want to be sure that you're a Christian before you leave this place, after service is over, after the benediction, just come up to me and let me know, and I'll hug you and I'll pray with you, and hey, we can baptize you next Sunday if that's what the Lord's doing in your life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. This isn't one of those things in life that's a good idea to just put off and put off and put off and think, I'll take care of that later. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace as you go in his grace.